Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 22nd of June. Is the fair start today or tomorrow?
You know,
I've seen the Ferris wheel there for a while.
You're seeing Ferris wheels, are you?
At Redwood Acres,
I haven't. I will drive by there today, to be honest.
Let's see if there's a crowd. We'll know.
No, if the wheel is moving.
Okay. Too. Yes. Not just up there gathering dust.
I used to know when my kids were little. I mean, you could not know, right?
Right. Now it's a little bit more secretive. Virginia Bass is alongside this morning. Are you ready for your question for this morning?
As usual.
I'm not going to go with that one. Let's find something in the great outdoors because that'll make some sense. Okay, why do we say browse? versus
you say
purchase
the great
or shop.
Outdoors. I'm going. So where did browse come from? That. Okay. For me, if I go shopping and I see something I like, I raise my eyebrows. There you go.
All right.
How's that?
Multitudes of persons like to browse among offerings at the shopping mall or titles available in the local library or bookstore. If you're among those, you emulate, after a fashion, actions that once took place only in the open air. In seasons when grass was in short supply, hungry domestic animals of Europe often nibbled leaves and twigs. From an old expression naming a tender young shoot or growth, an ox or sheep that filled its stomach with such stuff was said to browse. Merchants became irritated because folks often spent more time looking than buying. Half-hearted shoppers were compared to a cow moving from shrub to shrub, and the outdoor label attached to action of any person.
I think I snorted.
That's all right. Just like a cow. Or a pig, or do you have your favorite barn animal?
This was... Totally.
Actions of any person who takes a nibble now and then without pausing for a hearty fill.
Well, I never, ever would have gotten that one.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be one of those days.
Apparently so. So the elections are almost kind of sort of over. The length of time that it's taking to get finals in.
Not unusual.
Uncomfortable?
It's uncomfortable. I remember the very first time I ran for city council, and it was myself and Peter. And there was one other person who actually never showed up in anything. And I didn't even know who this person was. So there was three of us. And while I had a lead going into that, you know, I kept calling Lindsay McWilliams at the time every day going, it's like, when is it going to change? And he's like, well, you know, statistically speaking, which, by the way, does not always turn out right,
correct,
you should be fine. And that was, it took a long time there. I remember other years, especially when you're in a close election. So it's not unusual, and it doesn't have to be certified until, I think it's 30 days after the election. So there's time, and I do believe, well, people like me, I was so tired by the time we had a very long board meeting and I hadn't mailed in my ballot. So I went to the polling place because that's what I like to do. And I did not take my ballot that had been mailed to me with me. So I had to do a provisional, which is fine. Real big process for the people in the, you know, that are working in the ballot station. And the lady I talked to said, this is the majority of what we've done today. So there were a lot of those that literally have to be checked against your signature, make sure that no one else sent in a ballot, you know, the ballot you had been. And so I actually expected to take longer this time just because of the process.
But my thought, and I don't know if it's possible or not, with all the polling machines that are around and there were less in use because there were less polling stations, I'm going to line them up in an auditorium or cafeteria at some school. And just feed them and just go through with all of those that had come in early. All done. And then, okay, for the next 3 or 4 days, whoever forgot their ballots showed up.
Mail. And you have 3 days before they come in.
Do your referencing and take care of it and punch it out in one day like we had before.
I
mean, it's the elongation.
I have to say.
Unless it's proofing time also.
I'll have to say, having lived through it and been nervous, like when I ran against Chris Kerrigan, and I mean, Chris did a great job, and I had made not one of my better moves right beforehand. I didn't even have an opponent until, you know, I've learned a lot from many of the things I've done, let's put it that way. But all in all, that one situation ended up just fine and going well. But it was a very close election. And so it took several weeks before we actually knew with certainty, because it was that close. I don't think there's any of our local ones that are hovering at that point at this time. It sounds like what's been coming in is, and part of it too is you look towards what is the trend when they're coming in, where's it going? And they usually keep going in that direction.
Yeah, it was absentees, and then you get about 5% reporting, and that pretty much locks it in, and then it's just, unless there's a real outlier precinct somewhere.
Well, it would be interesting to go back when Supervisor Supervisor Fennell was running against
Joanna.
I mean, the current Supervisor Bushnell, because it, at the end of the night, and this is just saying how this works. At the end of the night, Estelle was ahead. She was ahead for quite a while, but with each of those counts that were, you can actually go back and look at the dates of when the other ones were reported. They have these, you can go online and you can look at all the years past.
Yeah.
But, you know, and with each one of those reports, it just kept, the narrow. And then it tipped. And I don't know what the difference was in the end between the two, but it was one of those that took, it seemed like an inordinate amount of time. So I think it's normal. I think when you're a candidate, you're unfortunately very aware of how long it takes, because
you're
panicking,
more sensitive.
Especially when you're in something close, because you're panicking, not panicking, but you're just wanting it to either be over or know that you're going to continue.
Come to a completion.
Yeah. So yeah. It's not a new thing. It's
are all the other counties going through the same similars?
Yeah, they usually do. I to what degree, I don't know. And that's out of curiosity. I'll send my friends at the state association and just ask, so where is every county on this?
Yeah, the Alturas and the Modocs and the smaller population.
You would think
guys.
They'd be faster.
Or those with a huge amount of population. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. One of the issues, certainly with the past election, and I don't know how much has settled yet, how much is still up in the air, with the auditor controller. It appears
that one's not up in the air.
Yeah, she was beaten rather handily, but with the timing, you're in until what, the first of the year?
Yes.
Okay, so she's in through the first of the year. With some of those lingering issues that are out there, can the county do anything to get those books up more current? Or is this, it just isn't clean?
There are a lot of things we can do. which we've offered to do all along, is bring out special teams basically to do this type of work.
Well, and you got the CFO now.
Yeah, oh, and she's amazing. You know, Fort Bragg's loss was our gain. She's found out a lot of where the challenges are, but she's also, they're going through and putting together things so we can at least know what the numbers really are, because we've been driving blindly, unfortunately. But when it comes to, you know, when someone loses an election, they are still theoretically in that position till the end of the year. Some people decide to leave early, which would then, in that case, when that happens, often then the person who was elected will then come in as the interim. Or you might actually be able to swear them in early. I'm not sure about that part of the process. But, you know, that is up to...
So we might see that with the assessor.
Yeah.
As an example, I mean, you know, how he's there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
And so, you know, but it is up to the person to decide whether they want to stay or leave, because it is an elected position. So, you know, my hopes would be that there is some coordination and willingness from the current office holder to let
a lot more people.
You're still a politician?
How about an early transition?
Well, I'm saying early transition, or if not, have her be there and bless the team that's working to help get it done before she leaves. But this would be a team that would not be under... I would not see it under the direction of the auditor controller. I would see it more under the direction of our CAO's office.
Is that legal?
I believe it's legal. I mean, what we can't do is we can't do any of the mandated tasks that are with the auditor's office.
But the other functions.
There are a lot of functions that have no nexus.
And that would give a better indication of where the county is budget-wise, or at least
I think bring things up. I think it would help. I'm not sure what.
Now, the county's still under lawsuit, right, from the state? Or was it?
I'm not sure if I can say it. Yeah, I believe. We are still.
It hasn't been settled.
No.
Okay. So there's.
Not from my knowledge. And,
time
you know,
is not your friend.
They don't always tell us what's really going today.
Yeah. And today, now versus today in an hour could be a little bit different also. But
You're absolutely
you
right.
You like that one, huh? Yeah. So how long are you going to stay in?
Well, I'm there until, I don't think, I'm not planning to leave early.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, if something.
You could probably be coerced to leave early.
Well, or I could, I've always worked, with one exception of 6 months, I pretty much always worked two jobs. And, you know,
Two full-time jobs?
Yeah, when I was mayor, I obviously the restaurant and city council, not necessarily two full-time jobs, but I think local government, even though that doesn't really pay a lot at the city level, you still have the same, it's still a massive amount of time you put into it, I think, if you do
it
right.
Yeah, the responsibility is probably the same.
Yeah, so I used to work, when I worked at the restaurant, I worked at Tomasa's at the same time. There's been occasions.
How come you didn't get the recipe?
Of which?
The spinach pie.
Because at the time I didn't think about it. I was
a
waitress.
That could have been a career-changing move for you if you would have had that plus the stuff from your folks.
Yeah, you
don't need a restaurant. You need a drive-thru.
And I need multiple restaurants. Food truck. But No,
because then you have the maintenance of a truck.
Anyway, I'm fairly confident. I mean, there are some jobs where it wouldn't work, but right now, I'm looking at opportunities that come up that if it's a good fit. It could work without a lot of effort.
Yeah,
now, if I ended up with a full-time job that required me to, like when I worked for Eli Lilly, that was like I'm driving between Wairika and Boonville constantly and on the road and then trying to
Doesn't that just sound like a profile you want to hit?
Yeah, and then trying to get back and do my, you know, work at the with the city was, that was, I'm not sure what I was thinking. Yeah. I did learn that corporate America or the corporate world is very different than people are. I don't know. I can't say it about all of them, but I did find out, at least in this specific case, it was all about numbers and it wasn't about the people that work. You know, it was just about
budgets. Hit the numbers.
Yeah. And more next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's always the case, right?
In anything you do.
What does that code speak for?
What, anything you do? Or his code?
Yeah, and anything that you do.
No, it's, it just seems like the way it is.
All right. KINS,
it's
News and
just
Information.
Just the way it is.
No, that's the way it was.
It's early.
That's the way it is. What was Cronkite's out? That's the way it was.
No.
That's the way it is? We'll figure it out during the break. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass, supervisor for a little bit. John Ford.
Yes.
Didn't leave? What's that
I'm
about?
I'm so excited. Can
this,
I just say that again?
Is this
again?
Your magic?
Well, I can't say I was responsible, but I know that a lot of people, when he said he was leaving, it really made a lot of people think. People who, let's just say, he's in a world where he has five bosses, some of whom can be a bit forceful at times or wanting things. And he's got the planning commission that, has to struggle with. Yeah. He's got an angry public. And so, I couldn't blame him for having the opportunity to go somewhere where, well, one, made more money, and the stress would theoretically be lower.
It's intriguing for me. I'm never being in that kind of a position, but certainly knowing others that have got the five of you.
That's the way you said that.
Yeah. Well, yes. Okay, the five electeds.
Yeah.
And there are some that flow with it, some that, just kind of go, okay, fine, whatever, get away from me. And they tend to be those that are there for longer periods of time. And then you got those that try to super serve the bosses, and pretty soon they think they're in a fun house, with all the mirrors.
Yeah.
and losing their mind.
I started calling it the crazy clown car.
Yeah, okay, fine. So, but this position's kind of in a unique one because it has so much interaction with the public.
Well, especially given
right
the
there.
Things that we have too,
and then you
the
got
cannabis.
You got the weed growing and all that kind of stuff that's part of it, and then the other that is as well. But I what I see with that department outside looking in is that he's inherited a bunch of culture. And it just, if it takes government a long time to accomplish anything, changing culture in a department
is
huge. I mean, decades in some instances. So whatever you inherit, good, bad, or indifferent, you're not going to be able to swing it too quickly. So you, What do you think is the best way for him now that he's back and he has the support and a lot of people are going, hey, nice to have you back.
Yeah.
Okay, this is like a second honeymoon for him. Is there an opportunity for him to be able to accomplish some of those things that might have been challenges for him before, but now he has a window of opportunity?
Yeah, you know, and what I did want to say, too, is when John announced he was leaving, that's when we started hearing from people in the community, people you would not expect it from, to, you know, just saying how sad they were to see him go. And, I mean, I can't even explain how much respect I have for him and how much how I like him. I love, you know, I'll just go in and visit with him about a lot of different issues. And he's just like the most down to earth.
He's one of the regular guys.
Person. And so it was, you know, almost heartbreaking to a lot of us. And so I think what happened is you had many
that
people speaking.
That he was leaving or that he was put through the grinder
both. That
resulted in the leaving?
Well, that he was leaving, but then in the realization of a lot of what probably led up to it. You know, when you don't tell someone that you appreciate them, we all know that in theory, but when you see something like this happen, you go, you know,
I could have done
and,
better.
And yeah. So, you know, whether it's the culture there or planning commission or whatever, there are things we can do. I do believe after the 6 years so far, he's probably working towards getting more of the culture he wants. We do know
it takes time.
Yeah, for various reasons in a public entity. But some things we can talk about, maybe looking at the composition of the planning commission, because there's a level of supervisors. There's five of us, and then you've got seven commissioners who have strong personalities as well. So other counties have five planning commissioners, one for each supervisor. They don't have the extra two.
No at-large.
So there's ways to redo the composition. Perhaps that could be helpful to dealing with some of the challenges that come up. The two at-large positions, I think, could be more challenging. It depends, you know, who's in those seats. But when they're at-large, it ends up being a whole process if you decide you wanted to switch in midway. I mean, it's a whole public meeting, and
it's different than
I think, I mean, it's happened one time that I've been there that I recall the most. But if you have five and each planning, you know, each supervisor has one, we don't go through that process. We get to pick ours. Say if I wanted, you know, let's say.
Weak moment.
Let's say I choose you. And if you agreed. Actually, you wouldn't do it if I asked you, but which is probably good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for
size,
you.
Size a nice breath.
But,
one, yeah.
But, you know, and then we just report it. But if one of our people starts going rogue or starts,
isn't it an at-will position?
Yes, or not.
The committee.
Yeah, the committee. Yeah, well, I can say you are on there, and for some reason you started becoming really, I don't know, belligerent. You're going after staff, making really weird decisions. I don't know, could be anything.
All pass.
Then
or
I can
pass,
yeah. That would be me as my yeah. I would just say, you know, I'm
over.
Switching. So, you know, that's something we do that I think could be helpful. One thing the Planning Commission also doesn't have is a code of conduct. And I, you know, that is one we are working on instituting.
Code of conduct?
Well, it's like how you treat
meetings. Are you talking about during the regular hours?
No, code of conduct. I mean, no, that's more, you know, you got Brown Act and other things that
kind of
guide you.
You guys have got it as supervisors.
Right.
What you can or what you're supposed to and what you're not supposed to.
And they have that. I mean, there's stuff that is law under law, and they have those same things that they have to. I mean, but it's like the Brown Act, you know, you can't meet three of you. So they have this, those same rules. But like we have a code of conduct. It's basically how you, this is really unfortunate these days, but how you treat the people you're with. How do you treat staff?
How do you interact?
How do you treat other people? And but there's also, I think their process, they choose their own process. And I think it could be useful that their process mirrors whatever the Board of Supervisors is doing at that time. I think that's more clarity for staff and for the public. Of course, it changes with, you know, some of it changes with each chair about what they do. But currently, my understanding is that at the Planning Commission, I do believe public members can pull items to be discussed off consent. Because there have been times where multiple things are just pulled off of consent at the Planning Commission. And normally when it's on consent, it's
over at that
right.
point.
Right. So I think, you know,
some of the structural things.
Whether we call it a code of conduct or protocol, meeting protocol, I think some things like that could be helpful regarding, you know, how we, you know, interact and interact with staff over there. I think it's just a good reminder to, you know, you may want something done, but when you approach staff, approach in a way, So I think, you know, but
processes
it's hard. It's not perfect. I'm just thankful he's coming back. I haven't gone through this experience to a huge extent when other people have left. You know, it was a surprise, but you know.
Well, yeah, you don't want to notice and then not get the job. That would not be a good career move.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, I'm looking forward to my continued interaction with him for the next 6 months, and you know, he's going to be one of those department heads that when I leave, I'll stay in touch with.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. As you look at not the Planning Commission, not the Planning Department specifically, but overall, is there consistency? Are all departments kind of treated the same that are the appointed? Are all commissions and committees that are appointed kind of treated the same? Is there,
you know,
that consistency?
I would say when it comes to the commissions or committees, not necessarily. Some commissions, you know, like the Planning Commission, obviously has a much bigger workload, so there's a lot more staff on that. And because they're, I still say that the Planning Commission makes harder decisions than we do. By the time they come to us, they're pretty gnarly if they get appealed. And so those are, you know, top the list of difficult decisions. But So they do have a lot of staff. You've got others that most others don't have that level of staff. Some have.
Well, they don't have the level of scrutiny either.
No, they don't. But they all still, each one is supposed to be abiding by the Brown Act. Each one is supposed to do, you know, follow those rules.
I guess what I was wondering is, are the supervisors, the five supervisors, as attentive to each of the departments?
Oh, the departments, not commissions.
And the commissions, if there are commissions and if there are committees.
Yeah.
Just so that, you know, everybody kind of feels like, you know, they're at least being paid attention to.
You know, I'd have to say it's difficult with all the different committees because we probably have 20 different, I mean, if you look at that, I'd like to think we most of us, you know, are engaged in something at one level or another. But yeah, you know, and when it comes to the departments, there's departments that we never hear from, we never get complaints on, and we love that. So
but
they
do
don't
take
get
them, do you take them donuts?
No, Rex does.
Okay.
Rex has a, and I don't know, he's got like, he's got a deal with the donut place.
You know what it is. It allows him to sample.
I guess. Yeah, you know, actually, each one of them have a bite out of them.
Yeah. They start out as a baker's dozen and end up as a Rex's half pack.
But you know, when I was at the city, I did take cookies to, because it was much easier to get to all the staff. But and it's a, it was a smaller group. But I
and
used
you had
to do that
to a
then.
Kitchen.
Yeah, that's true.
Fine. Flashback moment. You all felt it.
I usually could did it at home anyway.
Yeah, all right,
though.
All right, all right. Well, keep hanging in there. Have fun, and we'll catch up next month, huh?
That sounds good.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.